Advent comes from the Latin word adventire, which means to arrive, or to draw near, to approach, or to be imminent, or coming. And we anticipate the coming of Christmas with this celebration of Advent. But as we anticipate something, there are many different ways of experiencing that. I remember as a little kid, we got excited, right? We got excited when all the toy catalogs came out after Thanksgiving, and we would page through them looking for the things that we wanted to ask Santa for. And yet some of us, we prepare for Christmas by having to get everything ready and working very hard and trying to figure out lists of who to buy things for. In the end, you see often two extremes, people that enjoy getting ready for Christmas and sometimes those who don't. How should we be preparing for the coming of Christ? Well, Jesus in Matthew 24, which is what is known as the Olivet Discourse, is not only talking about the coming of Christ at Christmas. Keep in mind, Jesus is already there. Christmas has already happened. What he's actually talking about is his second coming. But one of these really cool things that happens in the Bible, he's simultaneously talking about the second coming, about his coming at Christmas, and he's talking about the coming of a new age, that is the coming of the church. In this same discourse in Matthew 24, Jesus says that the temple will not be left standing. Now keep in mind, the temple is the symbol of all of Judaism. It is the dwelling place of God. They believe that God actually resided in the temple. That's where he made his home with us as human beings. And so Jesus comes and as a Jew and as a Jewish leader says, you know what? This temple is going to be torn down. Why would he say something like that? Well, because he's starting something new, a new church born out of Judaism. We call it Catholicism. A new system of sacrifice, not the blood of bulls and goats, but the unbloody sacrifice of this altar that we receive in the Eucharist. And a new way of approaching the Father, not the Father who would go around condemning people, angry at people, but rather a Father that he reveals as Abba or Daddy, the one who loves us. You see, beginning something new often requires the destruction of something old. In fact, in 70 AD, the Romans would come in and they would tear down the Jewish temple. And it has not been rebuilt since. Beginning something new often requires the destruction of something old. St. Paul says in the second reading, "Let us throw away the works of darkness, orgies, drunkenness, promiscuity, lust, revelry, and jealousy." These are words that we as adults can understand and their applications. But kids, you can understand these words too. You know what it means to be jealous, especially around Christmas time. You know what it means to envy somebody else when they have something you want. You know what it means to lust for toys and things and to be greedy. And these are not things that Jesus wants of you, especially at Christmas time. What needs to be destroyed in your life so that Jesus can do something new in you this Christmas? Is it hatred or jealousy or envy? Is it lust? What does Jesus want to do that's coming at Christmas that is new? Of course, Jesus also simultaneously is talking about his coming in the incarnation. That is his coming in Christmas. But remember, he's already there. So when he talks about his coming and we talk about it during the season of Advent, it's important to keep in mind that Jesus was speaking about his coming in the midst of already being there. And that's one of the points that he's trying to get across to the Jewish leadership is that, hey guys, it's here. When he talks about Noah and how when, you know, Jesus will come again, the Lord will come when people are eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, when the Lord will come when there's two people in a field, one's taken, one's not, he's trying to get across the point. The guys, God's going to come in everyday circumstances. In fact, he's already come. And some of us aren't recognizing it. We're not acknowledging it. He's here. The end of the world has begun. In the church. And yet it doesn't have to be a scary thing. You see, what we desire most in Christmas, in heaven, has already become present in our midst. Now, the most appropriate way of looking at this gospel is that Jesus is talking about a second coming, while also alluding to Christmas and the coming of a new age in the church. But I don't know about you, when I think about the end of the world, it usually brings images into mind that are not very pleasant or joyful. And yet, I remember at Christmas time and Advent season as a kid, it was full of nothing but joy. I remember Mom and Dad taking us out and driving us around to look at Christmas lights. I remember making our wish lists for Santa, decorating the tree, getting to be with family all dressed up for Christmas Eve Mass. I can swear one night, standing outside of our house, looking up in the sky, I remember the air was cold. I swore I saw Santa's sleigh going by, and I was worried. And I told Mom and Dad that I was worried we weren't going to get back from Mass in time to get to bed so we could stop at our house. So if we're supposed to be excited about the coming of Christ, why then when we think of the end of the world do we have a very different image and a very different feeling? Brothers and sisters, it is not that we should take that scary, fearful image of the end of the world and start applying it to Christmas. In fact, it is the very opposite. Jesus wants you to take all of those wonderful memories, all those good feelings, and all that excitement that surrounds the coming of Christ at Christmas, and he wants you to apply it to the end of the world. He wants us to be excited about his coming, joyfully anticipate his coming again. This past week on Friday, we had a reading in our office of readings, the prayers that the priests and nuns pray every day. And it was I want to share with you a quote from St. Cyprian that just really struck me. I even posted it on Facebook. A few of you saw it. He says this: "When the day of our homecoming puts an end to our exile, frees us from the bonds of this world, and restores us to paradise and to a kingdom, we should welcome it. What man stationed in a foreign land would not want to return to his own country as soon as possible? Well, we look upon paradise as our country, and a great crowd of our loved ones awaits us there. A countless throng of parents, brothers, children, longing for us to join them. Assured, though, that they are of their own salvation, they are still concerned about ours. What joy, both for them and for us, to see one another and to embrace. Oh, the delight of that heavenly kingdom, where there is no fear of death. Oh, the supreme and endless bliss of everlasting life." And brothers and sisters, if that's what we hope to experience, then this Advent, I invite you to let God destroy something in you that needs to go away so that he can build something new. I invite you to recognize that Jesus is already in your midst, that the kingdom has come into the world, and that the joys that await us can be experienced now. And I invite you to reconsider your image and your feelings towards the end of life and the end of the world. That instead of looking upon it as something to be feared, rather look at it as something to look forward to. Jesus invites you this Advent to anticipate his coming with joy.